Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. You have tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, D&K Bible Break. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening to everyone that is listening. I am Derek, and Ms. Kay is there. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening.
And we just want to say what's up to everyone that's listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. And those that are on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. First and foremost, we want to thank the Lord for waking us up in our right frame, in our right mind, and giving us activity of our limbs. And thank the Lord for seeing us throughout today, throughout the week, throughout the weekend. And hopefully we can be a blessing to someone tonight as we get ready to go on the D&K Bible Break. Also, before we get started, I want to send a special thanks to our sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, and Brentwood Publishing. I just want to send a special shout out to them and a big thank you for all those listeners that listen to us throughout the week on one of our many different programs, whether it's D&K Bible Break, Praise Tabernacle Church on Tuesday Night Bible Study, Watchmen on the Wall on Wednesday, and on Friday, Freestyle Friday, with the Overseer, Timothy Jackson, or Spiritual Sense of Life on Saturdays as well. So we just want to say thank you to all those that be listening and tuning in to us throughout the week. And again, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners that's out there that's calling in on the phone line. We got a good show for you tonight. I'm going to have Ms. Open us up with prayer, and we're going to get right into it. Go ahead, Ms. Kay.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon, this evening. First of all, just wanting to thank you for everything that you've done for us thus far. Lord, we know that we cannot make it without you in anything that we do. We trust you. As the song was playing, I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, we trust you. And at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. We have to trust you in everything that we do because you know what's best for us and you know how to lead us and guide us and help us to lean not to our own understanding. Lord, we pray for the show on tonight. Remove us. And let your spirit increase in us. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We pray for guidance and direction on tonight and remove any feelings of fear from me right now, Lord Jesus. I honor you and I praise you and I thank you for what you're going to do on tonight. Open up the ears of your people and minister to their hearts. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Appreciate it. Tonight, we're going to be going into a little topic. We're going to talk about generational curses and training up your child as well. Am I saying it right? Training up your child?
Yes.
And generational curses and anything else you want to add in there in the title?
Just family dynamics, the dynamics of
family dynamics.
Your family.
I know I was missing one. Family dynamics. Dynamic. The reason we just want to do just talking, me and Kay talking in generally, you know, as, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go. And a lot of times, I know as a parent, I know Kay as a parent, some of my friends, colleagues, as parents, we feel like we let our kids down if they seem to go the opposite way. Even though we've done everything we possibly could to keep them on the straight and narrow, if they don't follow that pattern, I don't know, it seems like we as parents, I know myself, I'm only going to speak from my experience and some people's experience that share some things with me, that we feel like we let them down. And we wanted to talk about that a little bit. And we have to be careful when we are, we have to be careful in feeling like a failure because, you know, we can train a child up, but, you know, they have to make the decisions to live the right life. And we as parents have nothing to do with the decisions they make. So with that being said, you know, I just want to just talk to the parents. I don't want to, you know, because I think as parents we beat ourselves up if our kids isn't doing exactly what we want them to do. And then we feel guilty. But also, you know, the Bible says, you know, you train up a child, and when they get old, it will not, you know, depart. And I'm a stern believer in that. But also in training your child up, we can train them up wrong. And we can give them too much love and not enough discipline. Or we give them enough discipline and not enough love. And regardless how we do it, it's going to affect the way we're training up our child, our kids. And I hope I'm making sense when I lay the foundation now. So go ahead, Kay, what do you have?
Well, yeah, what you were saying is kind of where I was going as well, because there's different ways that not only – I don't want to just make this about parents training their children, because you do have a lot of people who are parental figures in someone's life, or maybe your auntie and you're raising your niece or nephew, or you're the cousin, or grandma got the grandkids. I mean, it's a variety of people that we're talking about. So we're not just talking about just specifically for parents, because I don't want people that's listening to tune out. You don't have any kids, so it's not just about just parents per se. It's if you are a parental figure in anybody's life, this is kind of like what we want to talk about tonight. So I did study a little bit the word train, and I'm going to just go ahead and read the scripture. Everybody knows, I know they've heard it before, but it's Proverbs 22:6. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And this one scripture is just like just one piece of the puzzle. So there are many pieces to this puzzle, but that one area, as far as training goes, is just a piece of that puzzle. And the word train, it can mean teach, discipline, nurture, guide, direct, instruct, start, prepare, equip, and lead by example, and love. That's just to name a few. And the one piece to the puzzle, I believe, that starts this all out is how you talk to a child, whether it's your child or somebody else's child. I believe that the words that you say to a child are very powerful. Even the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when you're speaking to a child, even when the child, if you are a woman who's experienced a pregnancy, when your child is in your womb, you're talking to that child. If you're the type of mother that wants to get their child started on the right foot, you're talking to that child. And I do know we do have some parents who made mistakes, and maybe they didn't go that route with their pregnancy at that time. They may have made some bad decisions. So it's a positive way that a child can go, and there's a negative way that a child can go, depending on the words that we say. Again, that's just one piece of the puzzle. It's not the full circle of the puzzle. So I know we have, like, situations where you have, let's just say you have a child that grew up in a house where nothing but negative stuff was thrown out, degrading words, and everything was just negative. And that child turned out to be the child that was on fire for the Lord, not because of the household that they grew up in, but because somebody spoke something to them, encouraged them, and they just went a different route based off of the lifestyle or the household that they grew up in. And then you have another child who may have grew up in the church, who may have heard all of the nice things and accolades of being the great child, and they know the word front, back of the Bible. They can quote all the scriptures, and then that child decides to do something else with their lives. They depended on the universe for everything and just walked away from depending on Jesus. So there's different ways that a child can go. The bottom line is, as a parent, I know with me, I've struggled a lot with how my kids, the environment that they were raised in initially, because I was in a relationship that was not productive for a child to be in. And I had them in that environment, and I used to feel so bad, like, how could I do that? What was wrong with me? My brain wasn't working, or what was going on? How did I let my kids grow up in that type of environment? And I had to ask my kids for forgiveness. I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and I had to stop beating myself up about it. I had to keep it moving because I did what I did. I apologized. And I had to let go and let God finish the work. So,
well, can I
a
ask
lot
you
of
question
times,
real quick?
Sure.
I want to ask a question because, as parents, I mean, if we do something wrong, I feel we should, you know, apologize. Don't get me wrong, but as being parents, and you know, sometimes we learn as we go. We don't know everything. Everything, you know, we just don't know. So, in saying that, and then saying that you felt like you needed to apologize. I just want to make it because, I mean, that's between you and them and God and all of that. I have nothing to do with that. I'm not talking about you in your situation, but in your situation as parents, even though we're supposed to train them up, even though we're in a situation where we're learning as we go, why do we have to feel the need to apologize for something when we're learning? As long as you're giving them love and comfort, and if you're showing them, okay, this is wrong, okay, why do we feel the need to apologize? I'm just asking, just for my own.
Okay, let me answer that. So in order for you to move past the situation and to grow in a situation, you have to talk about the situation. So in that talking, you're going to have to get it all out. I'm not perfect. None of us is perfect. So we make mistakes, and we do have to grow. In order to grow, you have to, you know, get it all out, because the devil is going to just keep using whatever little situation that happened. He's going to use it against you, and your child is not going to be able to let go and receive what you're, you know, the growth that you're trying to instill in them after the fact. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It makes sense. I just wanted to know because, you know, I'm old school. I'm not saying I shouldn't apologize for anything that I've done that's wrong to them. I don't mean beating them or you know, but as we live, I know I made some mistakes. You know, nothing major.
But they're human too. They're little humans. So you're trying to teach them and train them, okay, if you make a mistake, if you did something wrong, apologize. That's part of the training. You have to. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm the parent and I can do what I want to do, and you don't, you know, that's the problem. If I can say, that's kind of like with the generational curses. It's my way or the highway. I brought you in, I'll take you out. Okay, our
right.
Words. We can watch our words, though. That's not breathing life into your child or your niece or nephew or your grandchild. That's not breathing life into them. So them ways don't, just because your grandmama said it don't mean that it was right.
Well, see, but okay, now, wow, okay. I was hoping you wouldn't get me hyped up like that, but you're saying the way your grandmother did it, I don't, the way, because I'm old school, I believe in the old school way, do as I say, not as I do. And because I am the adult, and what's wrong with the kids today is every time you do something wrong, they want something. You know, for everything that we do, well, we did this or we did this, or they see you upset and you say something you ain't supposed to, oh, I need to go explain. No, I just believe that as parents, we're supposed to be stern. I'm not saying be strict, but be stern and be consistent in what we do. And everything, you know, you can't apologize for every little thing because that's not a real world we live in. And the kids,
that's not
today,
reality.
You know, no, the reality
that's not
is,
reality to apologize for everything. That's not what I'm
today.
Saying. But if you know you did wrong, be big enough to say, you know what, I was wrong. I shouldn't have came at you like that. I was having a bad day. I mean, because they got to learn how to, if their boss comes at them, they got to learn how to adjust and,
right.
and move on.
I agree with that. I agree with, you know, how to deal with people on a certain level. I was just saying as a parent. And sometimes, you know, kids today, I see parents apologizing, being apologetic, being very careful. And it's like, okay, we're walking on eggshells.
I'm not talking about that, though. I'm not talking about now that. Don't get it twisted. That's not what I'm talking
about.
I
was doing.
I'm not
okay.
saying, no, I'm not saying to be a punk around your kids. No, I'm still mama. You still gonna listen. No, it's still my rules. But at the same time, what I was saying about the situation that I was in before, it was a different situation that needed an apology. And I'm not saying all situations, because you are the parent. But at the same time, you do got to watch how you say things. And you say, what did you say? Do as I say, not as I do. I think that's what you just
said.
Yeah,
that's old school, right.
Right, but see, I have a problem with that part right there because I should be doing as I do, and I should want my child to follow what I'm doing if I'm doing the right things. Now, if I'm out smoking and drinking and partying, come on now, then of course you don't want your child to do as you do. But we are supposed to be children of God, so we should be leading and guiding our children. We are the only Bible that they – some of them going to open. So if you do as I say and not as I do, we out of order with that. That's my thinking on it. That's out of order. I mean, I know the parent is the parent, and you suppose the parent, I'm your grandmother, go have a seat, do what I say. But as far as do what I say, not what I do, there I'm not feeling that part. It may have worked for situations with – other people, but me personally, I'm not feeling it.
I was just wanting to get the clarity because a lot of, like I said, what we're going to talk about tonight is I know a lot of parents who feel uncomfortable, well, not uncomfortable, but feel like they're failing as parents because their kids isn't the way they're not making good decisions, if I should say. So therefore, what I'm saying is, we take the approach of, okay, let's try to be our kids' friends. And you know, there's no one's perfect. You know, I make mistakes as a parent. I've done some things that I probably shouldn't have said, some things I probably shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, you know, being a parent, hopefully that my kids will understand I was trying to put them in the best situation to be a better man. So I'm not going to apologize for every little thing because that's not the real world. I'm not saying teach them manners or the boss's list or that. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying as parents, you know, we can only train them up the best that we know how. And sometimes when we're doing that, and this is really where I wanted to go, is sometimes if you're loving your kids, you can give them too much love and not enough discipline. Or you can give them a lot of discipline and not enough love. It is very hard to, if you've never been a parent before and then all of a sudden you're thrown into being a parent, how do you teach a young man or a young lady how to function in this world today? And then as they get older, you see them drifting away from the principles that you gave them. As parents, sometimes I think that we fault ourselves, and it's really not us because as we train them, they have a mind of their own. They have thoughts of their own. And when it comes to make a decision, they have to make that decision. we as parents, we want them to always do what we want them to do or what we think is best for them to do. But as they get older, they have to develop themselves. So as parents, we shouldn't be beating ourselves up over the head when we don't, when your kids don't make the right decision. Now, because I'm old school, I believe in certain ways, you know, if my kid keep making the wrong decision, now, okay, you have to, somewhere you got to put your foot down and, you know, you ain't always going to say the things that they want to hear. And I think that that's where, as parents, we mess up because we want our kids to like us. One thing about me and my boys is I don't want to be their friend. I'm going to be their father. Now, we're cool on certain issues, but I don't want to hang out with my kids. As far as when I say hang out, I don't want to go party with them and we cool and we can have certain conversations. See, because there's a line between being a father and being a man. You know, I can never be my son's friend. Never.
You brought up something because, you know, I see this a lot. I mean, I don't know if it went on back in the day, but I know, like, now I see it a lot. I see the, I want to say the matriarchs of the family, the older people in the family. I see them, they will be getting high with the young people. They drink with the young people. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, what happened? It just blows my mind to see you're supposed to be training and guiding, and that goes to that do what I say, not what I do, but they're doing what you do because you're doing it in front of them, and you're showing them, hey, this is what it's all about. So when you say go ahead.
No. Well, that type of, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I want to touch on that as well. Growing up, you know, my parents were divorced, and, you know, my dad was a preacher, you know, and then my mom moved us out to the suburbs where the rich white kids was at. And dealing with that, there was a lot of stuff going on. My older brothers, at one point in time, because they did drink and get high, but did they ever let me try it? They let me try it, but once, they saw that I was living a different lifestyle, and because I got called to preach when I was 15, they protected me from all that stuff. I wasn't allowed to do it. I know they did it, but I wasn't allowed to do it. And that's where I say, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Sometimes people, when you're training up, we not all together as parents, but we try to be the best parents we can be in a perfect situation. Everything that I do is not right. So I have to tell them, you can't do everything I do because everything I do is not right. That's why I say, do as I say, not as I do. And when you were bringing that up, because I know a lot of people today, a lot of my friends get high with their kids. And it's sickening to me, but that's what they do because they want to be friends. But when it comes time to trying to be a parent, especially a godly parent, you kind of missed the mark. Now you can't tell the young man how to be a man and you're doing the exact same thing that they're doing. You can't tell a young lady how to be a young lady and you out there sleeping around with a bunch of men. But you want to tell her she can't do it and you're doing it right in front of them. And then you want to double date and go out with them. That's not good parenting. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's a whole nother piece of the puzzle as well. So I see a lot of that as well, like double dates and just hanging out with I don't know if they're trying to get their youth back or what. I don't know what they're doing, but as a child of God, I guess the question that when you say, I know nobody's perfect, and I know we don't always do everything the way that we should do it, but at the end of the day, as a child of God, you're doing everything that you can do the right way, though. You're trying. So when you say do as I do, or I can't remember what you keep saying, but how can you give me an idea of do as I say, not as I do? Because that part, I just want understanding on
it's
that part.
It's,
like
it's kind of hard. It's like, okay, let me give you an example. I'm just going to throw something out there simple, but then I don't want to lose track of where I want to go with this. But I know someone that uncle of mine, he smoked cigarettes as I was coming up. So he would tell me not to do it, even though I seen him do it. It wasn't just smoking cigarettes. It'd be cussing. Some people would cuss. Well, you can't use that type of language. And they would correct themselves, but they would tell me not to do it. So therefore, when you're training someone up, you're going to make mistakes. I'm not going to be apologetic for every mistake I make around a bunch of kids, but I will tell them, you know, if I am in error, okay, this is what you do because I am grown. And as men and as women, we make the mistake where we want to apologize to these kids and we're softening them up. And they're not prepared for the real world. That's just me. I'm old school. I believe that you know what you say is a dictate. No, I'm just saying. My father, he led us, and I'm gonna get to the kids, and because I grew up, you know, my father was a pastor. He wasn't strict. We was allowed to go to school dancing. We was allowed to play football. We was allowed to have a life. But at the same time, he trained us up. We had to be in Sunday school. We had to be in Bible study. There was a balance, and he wasn't trying to be our friend. Now, we went somewhere, we had to act a certain way, and this is what I'm talking about. Everything wasn't perfect, but when you're raising and you're training a child up, there's certain things that you can and cannot do. And for an example, the prodigal son. If you look at the prodigal son, the son that went away and did the righteous living, if you look at his brother and you look at the father, if you look at three of them in a different way, the one that started out bad ended up being good. The one that stayed at home and was good ended up being bad. It's about the decisions you make, and it had nothing to do with the father. He trained them up. He gave them everything that he possibly could. They made those decisions. And what I'm trying to say as parents, all you can do is do what the Lord tells you to do and put yourself in the situation and put them, not trying to be their friends, stop trying to be a father or be a mother and stop trying to be all tight when we cool and taking pictures and posing and giving them their first beer and telling them that's not cool. Because at some point in life, every child is going to need a father. Every child is going to need a mother. Now, either you're going to be woman enough or you're going to be man enough to be the father, or you're just going to be another man. And that's what I mean by when you're being a man and you're being led and you want to go spiritual, a spiritual man, we're going to make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I made a lot of mistakes. I have two boys. The older son, he know what it's like to struggle. My baby boy is spoiled rotten. It's a difference. I said with the baby boy, I'm going to protect him from everything. And that's the worst thing as a parent. So when I felt as a parent with the baby boy because I sheltered him. And he feels, and this is true, he feels that if he goes out from what he was taught, do what the Bible tells him to do, he's going to be okay. In the real world, it don't work like that. In the real world, there's racism. In the real world, you're going to get accused of something. And he's a big boy. And he's already telling me that where he works at, the boss feel intimidated by him because of his size. And it's a Caucasian woman. So right now, I'm fearful because if he do get angry, the first thing they're going to say is that I prepare him for that. And see, this is what I don't feel as a parent. I prepared him. Now, my oldest boy, he's been around. He knows some things. He had to struggle. And that's what I'm saying. So when I'm trying to talk to the parents, is all we can do is raise them, turn them back over to the Lord, and hope and pray that they make the right decision.
And, you know, through our prayers, you know, and the love of God and God's mercy, you know, God can teach our children the things that we didn't. So if we feel that we missed the mark in a certain area, or maybe we didn't do all that we could in this area, all you got to do is talk to God about it. At the end of the day, God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. So he already knows the things that you're going to do in your life. He knows the things that your child or your niece or nephew, or he knows what everybody is going to do in their life. So it's not that anything that they're doing is taking him by surprise. The only thing you got to do is pray for them and, like you said, turn them over to the Lord. Because if we don't, you're going to be stressed out, worrying about every little thing that your child is doing. The bottom line is, right now, there is a spirit that's being poured out on all of our children. The spirit of, it's just demonic spirits, the spirit of death, perversion, lies, destruction, darkness, evil, all of that is being poured out on our children, our grandchildren. It's a plan and a plot of the enemy. The enemy don't want your child to succeed. So the Lord knows all of this. So we need to be praying to the Holy Spirit to negate that in their lives before any harm destroys them. So the bottom line, if you messed up, you didn't do right, you wasn't the perfect parent, none of us was, the best thing to do is take it to the Lord, leave it at his feet. If you're going to worry about it, then you don't want God taking care of it. So you got to let him handle it. Let the spirit move. Keep your kids covered. Keep your grandkids covered in the blood of Jesus. And they may make the choices. You may not be happy with the choices that they're making, but they do have to live their lives. And sometimes they live their lives, and we're looking at it like, they're going down the wrong path. But guess what? Sometimes you have to go through, just like you did when you were younger. I'm pretty sure, I know when I was coming up, I had grown people saying, don't do that. Oh, don't talk to him. Or don't, you know, they're telling you what to do and what not to do. They're trying to instruct you and train you. But guess what? You had your own agenda. You was going to do what you wanted to do anyway. Ain't nothing changed. Your child, your grandchild, they're going to do the same thing. So the good thing is that you're a child of God, and you know what it means to walk in the light of God. So just train, do what you can to train your child and any child that's in your life. It doesn't have to be your child specifically. And I know you like, okay, well, how can you train somebody else's child? When you are in that child's life, when you are in that child's presence, make sure you continue to build that child up, to let them know that they are important, let them know that they can do all things, and to keep God first. So you can always make a difference in somebody's life, especially if it's a child that's being tore down at the house and you know it. Make the difference in somebody's life. So go ahead, husband. Like I'm talking too much.
No, you're fine. It's just like when you say that, you know, I believe, and just my opinion, and I know you're going to have some scriptures for us when I get done with what I'm about to say, because I'm going to need them. To me, parents today, just growing up, the way I grew up, the respect that these young kids have for their parents, I would never, ever talk back to my father. Never. My father never raised his voice at us. He didn't have to. He didn't make us fear him, but the way he corrected us is if we did anything wrong, his main recipe for discipline, that's what, meet him at the altar. And to me, this is what works for me. And I tell my boys this today, you know, you probably need to go to the altar. And that's where you got to work this stuff out. And I don't want to get deep into this right now. This ain't the place, but that's the way I was raised by a man. He wouldn't let us talk bad about our mother, even though she said a lot of bad things about him. He said, whatever you do, always respect your mother. And if we did anything wrong in school or we did anything wrong, he would just tell us, okay, well, come see me at the office. And at first, when we were little, we would have to sit in the front row, then come up to the altar. When we got a little older, he just said, meet us at the altar. And by the time we went there, something happened between the time he got to the altar and the time he prayed for us. Whatever the situation was, it was already worked out. We had to apologize and repent regardless before he got to us.
it was already worked out. And to me, that's what I wanted to give back to my kids and to my grandkids. I don't want to feel like I got to yell and scream to get them to do right. But at the end of the day, if you mess up, just meet me at the altar. Because I am a preacher. And you don't have to be a preacher to tell your kids to go to the altar. Just say, go to the altar. Work it out. And when you see kids at the altar, they playing. They don't have that reverence no more. We'd rather take our kids to a bar, to a strip club, but we don't want to take them to the altar. And, you know, my father used to always preach this, and I do it all the time, too. You know, you tell your kids about Santa Claus. They grow up, and they find out there ain't no Santa Claus. Well, you lied to me. Tell the kids about the Easter Bunny. Well, you know, you lied to me about the Easter Bunny. Now when they get older, you won't tell them about Jesus. And you should see now, kids don't really believe in Jesus because you done lied about everything else. That's why you can't try to be your kid's friend. You have to be the father or the mother. And I'm so tired of these mothers and these fathers trying to be friends. You can be friends and cool. I'm cool with my boys. We talk about football. We talk about sport. But there's a line I'm not going to go by. We ain't hanging out. We're not doing that. Not because I don't want to. It's because I got to make sure I'm the father. And I have to teach them as I get older and become a man. I teach them how to be a man. And if they see me in a light where I mess up as a man or I'm failing in certain areas, they're not going to receive it. They're not going to. So that's pretty much what I'm saying. I'm trying to say anyway.
Yeah. You grew up a different way than what I grew up. You grew up, your dad was in ministry, and he did the right thing as far as telling you all to take it to the altar. I didn't grow up like that. So I don't know that take it to the altar thing. I mean, I know it now because I'm grown, but as a teenager growing up, a young child growing up, I didn't know nothing about that. So I guess that's why I lean more towards, even if you're not a parent, there is somebody that you can speak life into. And I thank God for the woman, Jackie Golden. I love her to pieces, who spoke life into me and showed me what my mom didn't know how to show me, showed me what my dad didn't know how to show me. So it's important to just be that person for somebody. Even if you didn't grow up in the church, it's not too late. Even if you failed at some things that you did with your own child, you can still reach out to somebody else's child or some neighborhood kid and try to lead and guide them the right way and teach them how to take it to the altar in prayer and talk to the Lord about the situation. There's a scripture I wanted to read, Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So that scripture right there, because it says all things, that means everything. It's not just the little things that you want. And this includes you and your child. If your child is being disrespectful, you looking at this child like, who are you and where did you come from? Because I didn't raise you like that. And they out here in the street doing God knows what. Guess what? All things work together. Stand on that. It may not look like it right now. It may look like the battle is lost and your child is practicing this or they practicing that or they just doing things that you did not instill in them. Let God handle the situation. Pray for them and let God do the rest, because he promised never to leave nor forsake, and you are his child. So everything that you care about, he cares about. So he got them. He got your kids. He got your loved ones, your nieces, your nephews.
But the thing about that, when you say he got them, we definitely know the Lord got them. But at the same time, and like I said, as parents, but also not just parents and your child, sometimes you may have come in, and I know we do here in our house, we come in contact a lot of other kids, your kids' friends, and you have to be that example for them as well, not just your kids. But if you got kids, your kids gonna have friends. You have to be that example for them, because you don't know what people are getting at home. I know a lot of people in church right now who have kids who are horrible parents, just horrible parents. And when I say that, it's not, I'm saying it because they give too much and not enough of the other. There's no balance. And you can discipline your kids and be strict. I always share with my wife, you know, growing up as a pastor's kid, we knew a lot of kids that were pastor's kids that were strict. They used to tell me and my brother, well, y'all got it easy. Your dad let you do whatever you want. No, he didn't let us do whatever we want. There were certain rules and stuff we had to do. He just wasn't strict. And the ones that were real strict, that didn't have a life, they were wild. They were they just did everything against their parents. And see, my father never gave us that whatever we wanted to do, there's a certain way you have to act. And when you talk to parents today, you know, the boys are not really growing up to be boys. They're not being trained how to be young men. They're trained to be punks. You know, you have boys in the mirror longer than girls now. And it's okay. I got a problem with that. Now, you probably saying, well, what's wrong with looking good? There's nothing wrong with looking handsome and being neat. But when you are excessive with it and you don't, it creates other issues. And all what I'm saying is there's no real men as being fathers. Now, anyone can make a baby. A roach know how to make a baby. But it takes a special person to be that father, that dad, that caring. A woman can have a baby. And just because you have a baby doesn't necessarily make that you're a mother. There's certain things in you that you have to cherish. And to me, you got to have a relationship with the Lord. Because if you got the relationship with the Lord, where you do fall and make mistakes, the Lord will lead and guide you, and He'll tell you how to fix it. That's why, you know, when you say apologize to the kid, I'm not saying that you shouldn't or that you. There's certain things as parents, we ought to dictate to them how to live a life. We shouldn't be a democracy and give them a choice. And that's my problem that
okay.
I have
you
with
know,
a lot of parents.
Okay, let me just say something. Let me just say something on that part, because initially when I made that statement, there was a situation that I was in that was not a good situation for kids to be in. So when I say apologize, that was because as a parent, that was a choice that I made, and I had them in the wrong environment. So therefore,
okay.
I'm speaking personally only because I don't want you to think that I'm saying, oh, go around apologizing and everything your kid did. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I ain't saying being no punk for no kids. So that's not what I'm saying. I don't want you to think that I'm saying go around and apologize for everything, because at the end of the day, you are the parent. You are the authority figure.
And that,
you are the
and
person.
What you're saying is, and I believe we done a show about how you know, I wasn't going into that deep of, you know, we wasn't going there. I'm just saying in a general sense. Now, the situation you were going into to apologize, by no means am I even coming close with that. What I mean is, as parents, we ought to dictate to our kids how to do certain things. It should not be a democracy. They shouldn't have decisions to make. The only decisions they should have, and this is just my opinion, is when they open the refrigerator, okay, if they want to get something to eat, they should be able to get something to eat. Now, anything else, and that should even be a almost a dictatorship as well. And I'm just basing on how I grew up. We couldn't just go
right.
in the refrigerator and do anything. We had to ask. And if there was something being cooked, you ate what was cooked. Today, you know, you got five different meals going on.
But everybody
coming
up, everybody didn't work that way, though. So that's
what
it's different. There's a different environment. Everybody has a different environment. So just because you grew up that way doesn't mean that your way is the right way or my way is the right way. Everybody's just. I'm sorry, go ahead.
See, there we go. It's not that I grew up and I grew up the correct way, but the generation I grew up with, majority of the people that grew up in the same age that I grew up in will tell you, when you went to someone's house, you sat down and you've been quiet. You don't ask them
at someone's house, yes, but at your own house, But at your own house, did you have to get permission to go in your refrigerator?
At some point, yeah. When my mama bought them groceries, and she just bought them, and we had to pull them out.
I grew up in the same era as you.
Okay,
and
well, I'm just saying.
So I think, it just depends on how you grew up, and that goes back to family dynamics.
Even
so
at my big mama.
Everybody's family
even
dynamic is different.
All right, now, see, I don't know. I
even
know a lot of people.
At my grandmama's house, we had two refrigerators, and my grandmother never said, don't touch. It was like, okay, go grab it. So I think it's a different family dynamic depending on how somebody grew up. So I don't even think that we're going off on something else. Let me get myself back together. Go ahead. I didn't even know where I want to go. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, as far as being a dictatorship with our kids, and when I say that, I mean that in a very way of – because – if you look at the kids, and if you look at people who have generational curses, whether it's alcohol or drugs or going on in their family and continuing to go, it's because we lost the authority in our home. In order to get the authority back, there has to be it has to be a Christian household. There has to be, you know, there's, you know, I'm going to say it like this, and I know I'm going to get in trouble when I say it, but when you grow up as a Christian, as a child of God, it is a right way and there's a wrong way. There is no in between. And what we're trying to do, and I think I'm hearing it from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, we want to sugarcoat stuff, and not about sugar, but disrespectful. This is the reason parents don't know how to be parents, is because we want to sugarcoat stuff. It's either it's going to be this way or it's going to be that way. When you get kids coming over to our house, sometimes they walk in and don't even speak. Okay, well, where'd that come from? You know, some of these kids don't know the word no. When you tell them no, they go to crying. Tension tantrums. Okay, well, how did you fix that? Okay, how did you fix it? Well, okay, you got to put some rules in there and regulations in there. You're not going to get your way all the time. And even when it comes to the parents, okay, there's some things they have to do too. You can't be straddling the fence and trying to be a perfect parent because you're going to mess up and you're going to mess the kids up. Every kid got an issue. And the only issue is they don't know how to be disciplined. And they want to say they got bipolar? It ain't bipolar. It is. They just don't know how to accept, follow rules. Period. That's all it is. Period. They don't know how to sit down. Period. Oh, their attention span ain't too long. Okay, well, they don't know how to sit down. Okay, well, we're going to learn today. Sit down. You got kids that don't know how to act when they go to church because they can't sit down for an hour. Well, in school, you know, they got this. When we went to church, we had to sit down, and grandma had a switch. And if she tapped you with the switch, you sat there. There was no negotiating. And what I'm hearing from a lot of parents, we want to negotiate. There is no negotiation. Either you're going to do it or you're going to accept the consequences. And we can't be friends. Period. I know a lot of people be like, well, that you sound like you strict and you wasn't like that. You coach. I coach. Me and my kids are cool. But at the end of the day, I'm just dad. Period. We ain't friends. Period. My son is dating now, so he's coming to me asking me as a father, not as a man, how do you treat a young lady? Them the type of conversations I need to have. I don't want to be talking and rapping to him about no women. That's not my place. To teach him how to be a man and how to treat a woman, you have to instill that in them as a man, not as a friend. And that's all what I'm saying. And that goes for the women as well. Go ahead.
I just want to touch, if I can, just for a minute. There was this viral video that went out last week in reference to a dad and a stepmom, and they were just treating this girl horrible. And a lot of the times people like to use Ephesians 6. Starting at verse 1, you know, it talks about it talks about children obey your parents. so your days will be long. And I hear that scripture a lot, and I hear people using that scripture to as a switch to use against their kids. But they don't never go to the next verse, which is Ephesians 6:4, that says, provoke not your children to anger. So a lot of the times, parents, we could be doing things, poking and doing the wrong thing to our child to make them act the way they're acting. And that video that I watched, I'm not sure of everything that went on with it, but I guess there were some allegations about the little girl. And you literally saw the stepmom swing on the little girl. They're dragging her on the ground and pulling her weave off her head. And that was abuse. And if we saw that little bit on camera, I can only imagine what this child goes through day in and day out. And you wonder why they act in the way they act. So it's not always the child that's defiant and out of control. Sometimes there is a reason behind the scene why that child is acting like that. So the bottom line is, I'm going to keep saying it. If you know a child and you're saying that child is off the chain and it's something wrong with them, blah, 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 okay, you don't know what's going on. And there may be something wrong with them. Maybe you need to just treat them like a human. Let them know everything's going to be all right. You talk to that child because you just never know. So I don't want to make it seem like it's always the child that's doing wrong, and I don't want to make it seem like it's always the parent that's doing wrong. It's an equal balance. Parents, children, we all need to be held accountable for what we do. So at the end of the day, if you know what the words say, then train, guide, direct, lead by example, love on somebody. And if you're making mistakes out here, correct them. If the person's no longer here and you can't correct it with that person, okay, correct it with the Lord and forgive yourself and keep it moving. So we all grow up in different environments. So you may not have grown up in the church. You may have grown up in the church. At the end of the day, you may have made mistakes and you may have not made a mistake. But I find that hard to believe as a parent. We all make mistakes. But maybe you think you did everything right and you don't understand why your child is doing this. Take it to the Lord. And I know you're going to say, we're going to take everything to the Lord. I know you're going to say that. But that's my answer to everything. Let the Lord handle it.
Well, yeah,
I'm sorry.
I just
wanted to give you the scriptures out there.
That's fine. I just want to just say this, and again, I'm hoping we're trying to be helpful when it comes to this, but I know a few of my friends feel like they're a failure as parents because their kids is you know, running crazy. And you can only do what you can do. But the thing about it is you have to get the kids back to the Lord. And the Lord knows what he's doing. You just got to trust the process. Me and my brother was crazy when we was growing up. We was in the church. I know my dad scratched his head millions of times. But at the end of the day, we both serving the Lord to this day. And we both have that relationship with the Lord. And can't no one take that away from us. Our Father birthed that into us. And when you do that as parents and you guide them the way that you think the Lord will want you to guide them, you feel comfortable with what happens. But even though they may go to the left or to the right, if you did what you were supposed to do as a parent, then you should be able to sleep like a baby at night. You should be able to. But then again, like myself, I worry when it comes to my baby boy because I sheltered him. And this is just real talk, you know. I can pray. But at the end of the day, I'm just wondering, you know, because he thinks if you talk to him, he believed that if you love the Lord,
and you do everything right, the Lord is, the Lord got you. Ain't nothing bad going to happen to you. That's the way he was raised. And that's the way, you know, when I was coming up, that's just the way I believe, you know, the Lord got you, period. And with that, you know, there may be a little adversity, but nothing like what we're facing with today, with racism and police brutality and all that. You know, when we was coming up, it was there, but it wasn't like it is today. And that's the only thing that worries me. So when I talk to my friends, we talk about being parents. That's one of the things we talk about. And you can only train them up to the best of your ability. Now, my son, 24 years old, he's pretty much a man, but I still treat him like he's a baby. My oldest boy was like, you got to let him grow up. But the thing about that is, if I wasn't a good parent, I wouldn't worry. I would be like, whatever happened, happened. You know, I did my job, now I'm done. I can't do that, and I can't be like that. But at the end of the day, you know, we're just trying to help people. Don't beat yourselves up. The prodigal son, father, he raised two boys, and you saw the good one that was good in the beginning end up being bad at the end, and the one that was bad in the beginning was good at the end because of decisions that they made. And that's just based on their time with the Lord. And that's really much all I can really say about it, because those two, you know, the one son stayed and helped the father build the kingdom. The other one went and did righteous living. We know the story about the prodigal son. When the son came back, the other son got jealous. They didn't have nothing to do with the father or the way they were raised. It was the decisions that they made. And that's what, as parents, you have to be a hold of. But also, I want to get on something real quick, too, is in a lot of families, and I know in my family, there's a lot of generational curses that just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And it just keeps going. And in some families, you got women that have babies from teenagers, and they babies have babies at 10 years. It's a cycle. It never stops. You have some that has alcoholism. Everyone is an alcoholic. Then you have some that, you know, whether it's drugs or you know, we as children of God have to be strong enough and man and woman enough to try to break these curses in our family. My wife always says, and I hope I don't get in trouble standing, there's no men in her family. Well, I can see why there is no men in their family, because
they're all dead.
Go ahead.
They all died. So that's why. Everybody's gone. They're because of the lifestyle that they chose and the activities that they decided to be involved with, or health reasons. The last person, my uncle, I believe he was 62 when he passed. That's it. There aren't any uncles. There, my mom's side, dad's side, I don't have any uncles. My brothers are gone. I mean, there's like, I have cousins left, but, you know, they're younger. They're like 45 and below. So we don't have any older men or women in our family. My mom is 61, and she's the oldest woman in our family. So when it comes to generational curses, I lived a life of, seeing a lot of generational curses, and it's like the bloodline just got wiped out. But guess what? It stops right now in the name of Jesus. So my son will live a long and prosperous life in the name of Jesus. So prayerfully, my nephews, all of them, they will all live a long and prosperous life in the name of Jesus, because it has to stop. It has to stop.
But
your generation curses are real.
But also, you know, when you say that, and I don't want to pick on your family, because I don't want them, you know, parading outside my house ready to meet me or jump on me, anything like that. But, you know, when you say that, and you see how women, but when you see the men that they pick from, they're not real men. And the reason they recycle men over and over and over is because they don't know how to choose a real man. And that's part of the problem. And when I say have all these babies with all these baby daddies and men issues, is because there's no discipline on how to stick with a real man. Because a real man, there's certain things.
That goes back to train up a child, though. That goes back to train. So a lot of people only know what they've lived through. They don't know a difference. It's normal for them. It goes back to being trained and accepted.
No, because, see, at some point, you know, accountability, you know, I believe it starts at 12. I'm really not sure. I believe it's 12 accountability. And we're going to have to stop. Okay, some people ain't got good parents, but they got good sense. And you know good and well that brother that ain't got no job and ain't doing nothing, you know he's a bum. There ain't nothing that can't tell you that he's not, but that's what you want. And that's what you choose to do. I don't feel sorry for you, but then again, I do feel sorry for you because that's what you're choosing. You don't know how because you don't have the discipline or the mindset to A, let the Lord do it, and B, to chill out for a minute. You got all these women hot in the pants trying to find a good man, but yet every time they go get one, they get a loser. And you know that as well as I do. So when you say break generational curses, it has to be discipline. You have to discipline yourself. And it can't be a democracy. It has to be a dictatorship. Because if you keep allowing stuff, and that's what the devil wants. He wants to give you a variety. A real man knows a real man. And some things about real men, a real man can have conversation about real men stuff. But when you got a variety of stuff, and you talking about this, going to the club, this, that, and the other, okay, well, you don't have no vision. And without vision, you perish. And this is what's happening to the young men. They're perishing. And then there's no men to raise these young men to be a man. They got women raising them. And then you see you got a bunch of sissies. And now you got sissies raising sissies. There is no man. So what I'm saying is you have to be disciplined enough to either be hot nor cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of your mouth. And what goes on for men and women, and especially in the church, the reason there's so many women in the church and not enough men in the church is because there's no real men in the church. And when you find a real man in the church, people say they're too hard or they're old-fashioned because the reason they don't like them. And like when we was having the conversation, I think it was last Monday, about the music. You know, I'm strictly old school. I believe in Amazing Grace. And people, I don't want to hear that. Well, that's the problem. You don't want to hear it because of the words and the beat. There's nothing hard about that. We try to make it hard and want to make it more like the world, and that's what you get. That's why you get all these players in the church. They got all these kids in the church, and they ain't caring none of them. But that's a story for another day. I'm trying to be focused on parents that want to be parents. Listen. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Follow the Bible. And I'm not saying be strict. I'm just saying at some point, either you're going to be hot or you're going to be cold. Now, you can take that for whatever it is worth. But my Steelers are playing, and it looks like they need me, wife. So you're going to have to wrap this up.
Wow. The Steelers. Okay. Well, at the end of the day, we can't do anything about what's already happened in the past, but we can be mindful of how we do things in the future. So just be mindful of how you live your life from day to day. Somebody is always watching, and the little people are watching, and they will call you out if you're doing something that's going against what you say you believe. So we do pray that if there's somebody out there that's blaming themselves for everything that they see that that their child is doing wrong, we do pray that the Lord helps you in that situation to help you realize you have to let it go and let God handle it. And we also ask that for our children, you know, we pray that the Lord forgives our children for anything that they may have done to hurt, disappoint, neglect or anger their parents. So we pray for our children, we pray for the parents, and you do have to forgive yourself for everything in the past. Anything that you felt that you've done or you could have done better as a parent, you got to forgive yourself in order for you to move on. So if I can just pray this prayer, and this is going to be for a parent who may not, I don't want to just keep saying it's a parent, anybody that has a child in their life, if you love this child and you want this child to grow in the Lord, I pray that the Lord redirects and dedicate these children back to the Lord. So you have to give them back to God. They're not ours to keep, so you raise them up and you turn them back over to the Lord and let the Lord lead and guide them. And we pray that they will serve the Lord all the days of their lives and that they will bring God glory in every way of their life as long as they live. And Father God, I pray that they will be under your watchful eye. And again, we release them back to your hands, and we ask that you just guide and direct them and let your will be done in their life and allow us to take our hands off of situations that we have no business having our hands on and give us the strength to know that all things will work out for the good. So you got anything else you want to add for tonight for your Steelers? Get your attention fully.
I just hope we were able to help someone come clear. I think the conversation tonight was good. It should be opening up conversation with other people. You may not have kids. You may have nieces and nephews or cousins. You might be the only person in their life. So when you're around them, make sure that you give them the love, the discipline, and the support that they may need because they may not be getting it at home. And if you can do that, I'm telling you, you'll see a difference in the kids. Because as my wife said, she didn't have that at her house. It came from I don't want to call Miss Jackie a stranger, but it was someone outside of her family that brought that Christ into her. And even when we have kids, the kids is around the kids, you might be that only person that can give them love or discipline. They ain't got to always just be love. You may have to give them some discipline, but it will go a long way. And I'm talking to the people in the church. I ain't talking, this don't work for everybody. But if you're in the church and you love the Lord and you're doing what the Lord is telling you to do, all these kids is going to need something from you. And you should be able to give them something to take with them. That's ministry. And I don't want to get off my subject to what I'm going on next week, but everyone should have some ministry in them. And when it comes to homes and families, regardless whether you're an uncle, a cousin, a father, a stepfather, a stepmother, it doesn't really matter. You should have something to offer somebody. And I ain't talking about money. It ain't always about money, but sometimes you got to be able to get them some discipline. You should be able to give them some love. Or whatever they need, TLC, or just support. If you can just support them and just show that you can be there for them, it will make everything else better. But what happens, and it starts in the church, is we don't want to be accountable for nobody else's kids. And then if we are, you can't tell some kids, they can't, you tell their parents they did something, they want to put you on trial. And like it's your fault that they bad. And that's part of the problem. So that's why I don't really play when it comes to disciplining or having a democracy. It's a dictatorship. My house is a dictatorship. It's either my way or the highway. That's the way my father had it. That's the way I had it. We're not going to play games. And we're not, we don't entertain everything. You know, it's either going to be this way or not. Because if you're not, you're not going to have no peace at night. And I don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over again, but at the same time, I believe that if you hear it over and over again, you become a doer of what you hear. So what I'm saying is, you know, tighten the range up. You know, if your kids can't go to church and sit for whole church service, something wrong. Something wrong. If you ain't teaching them how to pray, if you ain't doing, something's wrong. So don't think that the devil isn't
you know what I'm saying?
Family for a reason.
Still at home. They're not sitting still at home. That's why they can't sit still. It starts
because
at home.
When I say you, I don't mean you, because they can't let them do whatever they want to do. That's what I'm saying. You
right.
Put a lockdown on some of that stuff. They got to ask permission to do some stuff. You'll see a change. You'll see a change. Trust me. You'll see a change. My mom used to buy lunch meat. Boy, and if she go shopping on Saturday and we didn't have none for lunch come Monday, we would not be, boy, it'd just be a long week with nothing for lunch. And when she said you ain't taking nothing for lunch, they ain't giving you no money for lunch, it's going to teach you to stop going in the refrigerator. Space it out. Learn how to space stuff out. Stop eating up everything. Eat some vegetables and some fruit. Save something sometime. But I'm just saying that because that
was
we were growing boys. What's that?
Mine was the opposite. Mine was the opposite. We had food galore. It was so much food. You eat whenever you want. People was eating in the middle of the night. I think that's why a lot of people have issues right now. But anyway, there was always a go and get what you want. My mom never restricted anything. And we always had people at our house. So it's kind of like in my household, that was normal. Going in the refrigerator, grabbing something, making something. Your friend's coming over. Okay, yeah, we're going to fix you some food too. So in my house right now, I'm a little tighter when it comes to stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I want y'all to eat the food half the time because I don't want to waste it. But on the other half, stop eating up everything. So at the end of the day, there has to be a balance, which is what you talked about earlier. There, in everything, there has to be a balance. In all households, there needs to be a balance. Can't
right.
have too much discipline, and you can't spoil them to death. So you got to have some balance.
Start talking about the grocery bill. I'm going to tell you, because a lot of food be living up out of our house. I don't say nothing. I let it. I'm in that new day generation. I just let it go. But you know, in our house, we had the real lunch meat, and then we had the people lunch room when guests come over. You know, I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm gonna get in trouble. Let me stop. Mama probably yelling at me for saying that she talk the way she used to talk. Anyway, let me just be quiet. For all those that are listening, we want to thank you for listening. Tomorrow night we got Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. Please tune in and listen to the Bible study tomorrow night. Bishop Omar Zachary, First Lady Pamela Zachary, and his leadership team will be on the air on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. sharp. If you need a word, I'm telling you, stop by on Tuesday night and get fed a good word. It will get you. Matter of fact, it'll be good because you can go from Tuesday to Wednesday. We got stuff going on all week long, back to back to back. And then they change Friday night services from Praise Tabernacle Friday night. It is on Thursday night. Same time, 7. It's just not on Friday. It's on Thursday. You know, when we're going to get the weekend started early, we're going to start Thursday night. So, Thursday night, Praise Tabernacle Church will be on and popping. Omar Zachary will be bringing the word, him or his wife, on Thursday night. And then, you know, they'll be back on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. as well. Also, Wednesday night, you have Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall. Friday, well, not this Friday, Freestyle Friday with Overseer Timothy Jackson. He won't be on this Friday, but his Spiritual Sense of Life will be on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, out of Dallas, Texas. So you definitely want to check that out. All the times will be on the air as well. And is there anything else I need to – I know I'm forgetting something a lot. My mind is not occupied here tonight. My team is playing. I'm getting text messages and emails. I need to go watch the game because we just scored a touchdown, by the way. We missed the extra point. It's 10-9. But I got to get back to this football game. And for all those that texted me, knowing that I cannot talk or text while I'm on the air, thanks for being friends and texting me scores and updates. But let me get out of here. You've already dismissed in prayer. Dismissed in prayer. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. That's all I got.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
From out there, radio world, this is the Chaos Talk Show. with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.